Welcome to the No BS Short-Term Rental Podcast, an unfiltered look into the global vacation and short-term rental industry.
I'm Mateo Bradford.
And I'm John Stokinger.
And this is our podcast. We bring the right people to the table at the right time, giving you an inside view and take on the short-term rental industry like no other podcast can.
Mateo, normally I say good morning, but I'm truly, it's only good morning for one of us here. It's good evening to you. How are you doing today?
Fine, brother. How are you?
Good, man. Episode 27. We have a special guest from halfway around the world. I hear the toilets flush the other way. I'm not sure which way it is. but that's kind of exciting. And I'm actually going to go ahead and let you do the introductions because you kind of like doing them. So I'm going to let you introduce our guest today.
Is that why?
I think you enjoy it. I think you enjoy doing the introductions.
There was a handball.
Oh, John, you know, I love you. No, this week is, I do, because yeah, we get the opportunity to talk to some amazing people who are, you know, significant in our industry, right? And, you know, we get to have real candid conversations, and this week is no exception. I'm excited. To our guest this week on the No Bullshit Short-Term Rental Podcast is definitely someone that likes to keep it candid, keep it real, keep it honest. Has an amazing personality. And when I think No BS, is definitely one of the people I think. The amazing author and million-dollar host, brand, the one and only Julie George from way down under. Welcome to the No Bullshit Short-Term Rental Podcast. Like, I want to keep I'm not gonna read your resume because I'm gonna let you do that. Because we want to know your story, and it's a fun story too, because you know wherever you came from to where you are today, you're significant in terms of what you are doing for our industry, right? The people you are bringing into the professionalization of this industry through your speaking, through your engagements, is having an impact. So, welcome to the show, and thanks for coming on. We're excited to have you.
Thank you for having me. And I feel like I'm at home. The No Bullshit Short-Term Rental Podcast, it's like it's made for me, right? So the Aussies are known for, there's not a lot of bullshit that goes down down in Australia. And actually, I heard a quote the other day, which is quite relevant, where a lot of people say the grass is greener. Well, the grass is only greener because it's been fertilized with bullshit. So
there you go.
That's one of my favorite sayings. Yeah, that is one of my favorite. Yep.
That's amazing. So
Julie, talk to us a little bit about where you came from. Like, we know, we see your books, we see you speak, we know you have an amazing clubhouse that just keeps the conversation going with some amazing people that get to, you know, really, you know, share their experiences. How did you get to this? Tell us your story.
Well, let's, you know what, I talk a lot on podcasts about my story, but let's even wind it back even further. Well, I'm going to give you guys some a bit of insight into Julie George that not a lot of people know. Look, my first job ever was, I grew up in the wilds of Kakadu, the Northern Territory, and if anybody has seen Crocodile Dundee, that's where I lived, that's where I grew up, and my first job ever was feeding crocodiles. Mm-hmm. All 10 fingers still intact.
There you go.
So yeah. I've got,
you call that a knife?
That's not a knife. This is a knife. So I've gone from, you know, living in the wilds of Kakadu, feeding crocodiles. I studied hospitality management at university, which I, at the time, as an 18, 19-year-old, thought was a housewife course. I learned how to cook. I learned how to clean. I learned how to make cocktails. I learned how to drink cocktails. You know, and then I can't remember anything else I learned after that.
But, and then it's all downhill from there.
It really was. And from there, my parents were always involved in hospitality and tourism, and I thought, right, that's what I'm going to do. Then the pilot strike came in, which has happened to us in Australia, and it really shut down tourism as much as a pandemic did just recently. And unfortunately, those plans went to to pot. I ended up getting a job over in the United States. So I went and lived in California for 18 months, working with the Australian Tourist Commission and traveling around the US, around Canada and around South America and Central America, promoting Australia as a tourism destination. So that really...
And when was that? Approximately?
Oh, gosh. Are you ready for this? This was 95, 96. So okay. I was a little spring chicken back then and too young to drink in Los Angeles. So I would get stamped with no alcohol on my wrist and have to travel down to Tijuana for a few.
So I was only a couple of years behind you. I lived in San Diego. See, I graduated high school in 96. So I was, I think, 98. I went to college for 1 year. Then I moved to, I think it was like 98, 99. I was down in San Diego and crossed the border to go over to the Tijuana. Yeah.
We probably partied together, John. I knew you.
We might have. It's a little cloudy back then.
Me too. I'm sure there were zebras, not horses. Horses, not zebras or whatever in Tijuana. But anyway, it was a great time. And I just got to really gel with the American market. And I guess, you know, going full circle now, that's where I am again now. I'm now consulting and teaching and working with mostly Americans and loving seeing how I can, I've fast forwarded a lot in that quick few sentences, but just it's amazing how things go full circle. I'm back working in the hospitality sector. I'm back now working with the American market and not feeding crocodiles anymore, but dealing with a lot of sharks out there.
There you go.
But look, I guess getting to the short-term rental side of things, I really love working for myself. I hate being an employee. I'm a terrible employee. Do not ever employ me, anybody out there. And I found myself in 2016 just craving to run my own business again. I'd heard about all this fuss about Airbnb. I thought, what is all the phenomenon about? So I then took one of my investment properties, which I had a long-term tenant in, fully furnished, one-bedroom apartment. He moved out and I thought, I'm going to put the Wi-Fi on, I'm going to put the linen in, I'm going to take some photos, put it up on short-term rentals. And within minutes, within maybe hours, I had my first booking. I was getting incredible returns on investment. I was able to use my property for the first time ever. And the light bulb, the cha-ching moment went off and I thought, far out, I could turn this into an absolute killing of a business where I can manage and leverage other people's homes, take those properties, put them on Airbnb, charge a commission. And so a property management business was born. Host My Home was the name of the business. Mm-hmm. Really put in a unique strategy, a new unique business structure, company structure, and was able to scale up to 130 properties within 2.5 years, $8 million income.
That's crazy.
Mind blown. Absolutely mind blown. But sold my business just prior to COVID. So 2019, 2020.
Decent timing.
Man, talk about
this. I could go and become a psychic if I look into my crystal ball and see the future
Send me those lottery numbers, please.
They're coming at you, Mateo. Sold my business, wrote a best-selling book, and here I am now getting to talk on the No Bullshit Short-term
Well, like, truly, the pinnacle of your career is probably right now, this morning. I understand that. I mean, I don't have a book yet, but I do have a podcast with my good friend, Mateo. So, I understand where you're coming from. So talk to me about did you just run this solely? Full disclaimer, I have not read your book. I apologize. Okay. I need to go ahead and I need a digital copy. And we'll talk about digital copy at the end of the podcast too, because we got a cool, could you listen to the end of the podcast? There's going to be a way for you to go ahead and potentially get a digital copy of her book. But talk to me about, were you solely pushing, this property management company, Host My Home, were you pushing just on Airbnb and or did you end up going ahead and saying, all right, now that I'm at 20 properties, I need a property management software? Talk to us a little bit about that.
All right. So this will blow your mind, and it blows and probably one of the things that a lot of people are surprised to hear was that I was 100% Airbnb. I love Airbnb so much that Chesky is going to have to sponsor a facial tattoo one day of his logo, I'm sure. But I love Airbnb, and there's a couple of reasons. I did toy with a couple of the other channels, OTAs. I did try booking.com. I did try Stays. There's a couple of others that I tried. I hated them, and
They're not our sponsor. You're good. You can say whatever the hell you want to say.
I should have checked beforehand, right? I love Airbnb. Sorry. The reciprocal review systems mean that everyone's on their best behavior. The host guarantee meant that if the guest didn't pay for something, I got Airbnb to pay for every claim I ever put in. And I just enjoyed the whole system. I felt supported. I felt that they were a marketing mega machine who were bringing in my clients. And, you know, I just didn't have to worry about marketing to clients at all. All I had to worry about marketing to were homeowners. So I focused 100% on getting more properties. That was all I was doing. Airbnb took care of the rest. And so that was what I was doing. So in terms of technology and software, I didn't use really anything. I was using the Airbnb system, the platform.
You're crazy, by the way.
I know. And I am going to admit one of my biggest regrets. Well, so let me tell you what I was using, and then let me tell you what my regret was and what I wish I was using, was that Airbnb, I was using Xero for my accounting and a real estate software just to produce my trust account reports. So I was a realtor and I had to abide by some guidelines and reports.
Yeah.
What an idiot. Don't do a Julie George and not use a dynamic pricing software. Like, I was guessing prices on my properties. Don't do that, folks. If you're listening to one thing on this podcast and you're going to write it down, use a dynamic pricing tool. Do not think that you are smarter than the experts. So biggest regret is how much money did I leave on the table by not doing that? Still gives me nightmares. But I didn't use any channel managers, PMSs. I didn't use any technology. My team of people that were working for me, my co-hosts, would meet face-to-face, so we didn't have smart locks, we didn't use noise detectors, nothing. So now, and in fact, I've only just figured out how to use Instagram. So look, grandma here has just, you know, finally come into the new age and has realized, with all of the technology that is out there, with all of the education, for anybody listening right now wanting to get into the short-term rental industry, you are so lucky and you are going to be so supported, and you're going to be, if I can do 130 properties in 2.5 years, wow. My mind could only imagine what you could do with what you've got at your hands and your fingertips right now.
That's an amazing story. And truly, like, I still think you're batshit crazy for doing it the way you did it, but more power to you. Like I bet there's some like amazing lessons learned, and you know, it's phenomenal. I have some friends in the space here that have, you know, similar growth, but they're a full fledged property management, you know, company with like, you know, doing it with PMS, with everything. And, but there's only a handful, truly. Like I know two people total that have built as quickly as you did. And everyone else is like the scale is much slower, and it's not for everybody. This has been a recurring topic of conversation, truly, the past 3 or 4 episodes. Like what is scale to you? What is growth to you? Where is your sweet spot as a property manager? You know, like you were at what, 130, but some sweet spots 50, some sweet spots 20. What is the best fit for you, and where do you want to take yourself? Obviously, you've took. Where your growth, you sold, you wrote a book, and you're still not done. You're investing, which I want to talk more about that here.
The other thing too, John, is that the biggest probably misconception was at 130 properties, I must have been working my ass off, but I wasn't. I was doing about 10 hours work a week, and my team, I had structured and built this framework very much like a franchise. So I had co-hosts underneath me doing the day-to-day running. I had a couple of employees, mm-hmm. which I didn't put on those employees until I had a certain number of properties. I opened up an office, a physical office. But in the last 12 months of running 130 properties, I worked about 10 hours a week. And I would turn up to the office and the girls would say, "What are you doing here? Don't touch anything." And right. that was the best feeling ever. Like, I honestly didn't even see a lot of the properties that were in my portfolio towards the end, because I had put this structure into work on the business, not in the business. And right. I would implore mm-hmm. anybody who's looking to scale, you've got to do a couple of things right. You've got to put in that framework, the operations, the systems. You've got to get your team involved. You've got to empower your team to take ownership and have pride in their work. And by doing, I did a very big, one of my secret sources is to do a profit split. So every time that I would earn a dollar, I would make sure that my team was earning, you know, unlimited amounts of money themselves. So I did a commission plus a set fee for everybody who worked with me. No matter what they were doing, they were getting some sort of incentive, and that just drove the loyalty, drove the ownership, and it meant that I could just sit back and chill out and relax. There's a little secret sauce for everybody listening in.
That's no, I like
it. Take care of your people, and they will definitely take care of you. I think it's interesting though, like with the people you're consulting, and John, I think John mentioned this a little bit, like we're talking about getting to scale. Do they come in knowing, you know, with a preconceived notion of how big they want their business to be? Or are they coming to you, you know, what are you seeing? Because that's what we, you know, not everybody in this space is going to be the biggest property manager in the world, right? So how do you talk to these people that you work with to get them to a space or get them, you know, to a space where they can figure that out, where they can get to what they're comfortable with it, or where, you know, their goal of whatever number of properties that is?
Yeah. So do you mean the people that I'm working with right now, through Legends X, shameless plug here. I am working with a bunch of short-term rental operators at the moment. They might have one property, or they've got up to maybe 40 properties, but they're looking to scale, but they're all in that same pain point. They're stuck. They're like a hectic host. They're running 24/7. They've got their phone attached to their ear. They haven't had a break with their family. They probably don't know what their children look like anymore. They're the people that I'm dealing with day to day. And they are the ones that we take them through a few steps, and I'll let you in on the secrets on this as well. Firstly, it's about setting a vision, really getting to figure out what they want to do in the business themselves. Like, what does their role look day to day? And you don't have to be black and white. You can take the blinkers off and say, well, I actually really love guest communications, but I don't like dealing with homeowners. Or I love dealing with the money, but I don't like dealing with anything else. So really getting to know your likes, your dislikes, your skills, your strengths, your weaknesses. Like, don't be afraid to actually put your hand up and go, like for me, I know I'm a terrible cleaner. My cleaning skills are crap. And my reviews for cleaning when I was cleaning the properties were awful. So I knew that the first person I needed to hire was somebody who was strong in that area. So, you know, recognize your weaknesses, hire where and outsource where you are weak, and surround yourself with people that enhance you is probably the first thing that I would say to anybody that is looking to, well, you're creating this vision, but then you're needing, and you need to write down your goals. You need to really have some set goals. But you're right, Mateo, not everybody wants to be the biggest, like have a lot of properties. They may just want a handful of properties, but luxury properties or properties with private chefs in them. But really, this is the most exciting part about this industry, is you can really put your own spin on it, and you don't have to go down the lines of everybody else. You know, this, you don't have to be a cookie cutter property manager either. You can actually come in and go, well, actually, I'm a fantastic, I'm an educator. I think I'm going to come in as a consultant for mum and dads who are wanting to set up their own Airbnb properties. I'm going to offer a consulting service to help them get set up. And this is something I actually did as well to get a lot of people to come on board with me. I offered free consultations. If you've never had an Airbnb account, I would offer a free hour consultation to set up your own Airbnb property. And I would sit down with the mum and dad go through, set their profile up, do a listing for them, get it set up. But the secret was that Airbnb were giving me a referral kickback for every person that I brought on board that their software, their platform. Right. So I was earning a couple of hundred dollars. Right. So, but the beautiful thing was the novelty wore off. After a few weeks of cleaning toilets, meeting guests, being up 24/7 answering inquiries, they got sick of it, and then they came back to me and said, can you take over full management? Okay.
Yeah, twist my arm.
Right.
Whatever. So hopefully that answers. But I really think that people that when I'm consulting, my first thing is let's do a self-analysis. What do you like? What do you dislike? What are your strengths? What are your weaknesses? Where do you want to be? What is your goal in a few years' time? What lifestyle do you want to be leading? And that's where we've got to start. And then we've got a roadmap to success. Then we can start putting into place the structure, the framework, and getting a team on board to help, or software to automate.
You mentioned a couple of things, Julian. You mentioned, finding, the things that you're good at or your likes and dislikes. And, again, we've mentioned this in the podcast previously, is with tech that is available today. Like you can be great at three or four things and absolutely horrendous at two or three, but the tech's going to come in and help you do all that things. And you can kind of focus on what you want and really curate your role and, your experience as a property manager or whatever direction you want to go, with that tech, helping you do that. You also mentioned the you only use Airbnb, which is again insane to me. But what we deal with on the majority, and me coming from a property management software platform sales prior to my current role, I'm dealing with professional property managers. Did you ever feel that the an Airbnb host are unfairly put in an unprofessional, let me rephrase this.
What are you trying to say? Spit it out.
Well, I'm trying to say that
our hosts look down upon but that's what he's trying to
but
say.
Professional property managers overall feel that most Airbnb hosts need to up their game to become more professional.
Don't know what the hell they're doing.
Yeah. So I think an Airbnb host to a lot of professional managers is kind of a dirty word or definitely looked down upon. And you're doing a lot to professionalize that space. I just kind of want your take on that and kind of what your thoughts.
I think we all have to start somewhere. And I think, I'd be pretty disappointed if somebody did look down on, if somebody's just running a one property or they've got a spare bedroom that they're renting out. I think that's exciting because they've got a little side hustle. They're providing income for their family. I love it. I would fully support and empower somebody who's doing that. And that's where I started.
Full disclaimer, we do too. I'm just trying to...
Yeah,
I'm just doing what we do here on this podcast, idiots? Trying to stirs the pot a little bit.
Who are these idiots out there that are doing that? Let's get them.
let's go ahead and get them. I think that there are, in all fairness, there are people that are like, man, I just need to go ahead and I need to make a little extra scratch. I'm going to go ahead and rent out this room, and there's no real focus on small circumstances in unique that there might not be that focus. And then those bad Airbnb hosts go ahead and leave the bad taste. And they are what are remembered in a city, in a what happened in that Airbnb. Yeah. I mean, Airbnb is a
dirty word.
Yeah. A little bit, but it doesn't need to be.
But that's where we've got to step up. I think we've all got to step up and take ownership, to educate our community, to really be on the front foot. And we had a discussion the other day about, regulations and bans and people thinking that Airbnb was, the party places, it gets a bad rap.
100%.
But, as hosts or as individuals part of this industry, we've got the power to change that and we can mold that. And I feel like we're on the cusp of something massive with this industry. And I, for one, you know, I took the initiative to go and meet all my council members, to go to the right. town, the city council, and say, look, let me tell you about Airbnb. It's not as bad as you might think it is. And I would educate and try and talk to them. And I remember going to a council meeting once where there were some neighbours who were cranky about the noise, you know, that Airbnb were, there was one house in particular that were having parties. And, yeah, it was one of those hosts that didn't give a shit. And, oh God, I can swear on this podcast.
Yeah, just say whatever the fuck you want.
So they just didn't care. I remember that the councillors, I had educated them so well that they stood up and they brought up some statistics on the board and they said, so we've had 3 noise complaints on this particular house throughout the last 12 months. The Hilton Hotel has had 25 noise complaints this last weekend. And, you know, so they put it in perspective and that just shut everybody down. You know, the other thing that was interesting in that particular meeting was that, you know, there was a bit of a wrong understanding, like a suspicion that Airbnb were taking all the work away from hotels. Well, when we looked at the statistics, it was in fact the hotels were seeing a huge amount of growth at the same time that short-term rentals were seeing a huge amount of growth as well. So, so look, I think it's all about education, but we've all got to play our part. And I would say to any of the listeners out there right now, join your local short-term rental association. And if there is not a local short-term rental association, start one. Start one. Get on and create a Facebook page. Start your own short-term rental association. Start educating the community. And I truly believe those who educate will own the space. You will be seen as the expert in your area. You will be seen as the million-dollar host of Florida, and or wherever you might be listening in from. And then suddenly, new business is coming to you. You're not having to go and find landlords. You're not having to knock on the doors of homeowners. Suddenly people come to you and go, I want you to look after my place. You're the expert. So use it as an opportunity. But yeah, anybody who gives those little hosts a hard time, I'm coming for them, John. So.
There you go. There you go. I had a direction I was going. Mateo, jump in here. I'm a brain fart.
I know exactly what he wants to talk about too, because your journey has come from, you know, all the way through managing consulting to investing, right? And, you know, we keep talking about technology and what's coming next in the space. And, you know, I do think technology is going to be the great equalizer. It's going to give us better hosts. It's going to give us, you know, better professional property managers, right? Like it's going to give us, it's going to be that equalizer in the space. And, you know, just what we've seen in the past 10 years come through, you know, it's changed how everything in the space works, and what's going to come next is even more exciting. But we did want to dig in and talk a little bit about your projects and things you've been going, you've been investing in, that you've been pumping, what you've been seeing. So talk to us about that.
Yeah, look, I'm so excited about what's happening in this space. There's, I guess, probably in the last 18 months, especially during COVID, I've seen some incredible businesses being formed, some startups that are really taking taking our industry by the reins and really going to change things. You know, wherever we can to make things simpler, automate things, streamline our processes, our systems, it's going to fast track our success. So I have spotted, there's a couple of little gems that I've spotted out there in the marketplace, and I've put my money where my mouth is. One of them being WashB&B. Now, WashB&B is a laundry solution. So the biggest pain point for any short-term rental operator is laundry. How do you cope with laundry? And I've got to tell you, my book, if you read my book, you will see I tried everything. I was running my Chinese laundry in my house. I had sheets and things. My family would spend the nights folding, trying to fold a fitted sheet. That was just ridiculous. Tuck and roll is, I reckon, the only way. Doing that, running through a commercial laundry, doing a linen service. Look, I tried everything, but when I stumbled across a young guy called Daniel Cruz who runs WashB&B, he's over in the States. He has been a host himself. He recognizes that there are issues. Daniel has created a linen service whereby he will provide fresh linens for your short-term rental. Even if you've just got one little property, fresh linens, he will wash those linens. He's just providing this incredible service that is, it's in a couple of states already in the US. Don't ask me which ones because I can't remember. But washbnb.com, if folks have a look at that. I've put my money where my mouth is and I've become lead investor for that company because I just see that this is a business that could take or provide a solution for hosts worldwide. So I'm really excited to see his little business as well. But there's a couple of others that are coming out. Keep an eye. There's one that I haven't mentioned to you guys, but there's one that's coming out, Enso Connect, E-N-S-O Connect, Francois, up in Toronto. He is in Canada. So he is just an absolute superstar. He is putting together some technology for hosts, a one-stop shop, basically everything, channel manager right through to noise monitoring to like just making it a one-stop solution. So Enso Connect, watch and listen to that name. He's going to be the next billionaire in our space, in our industry.
All right, money
yeah,
with your...
If we can pull it all in. Yeah, no, shout out to Daniel and the Wash B&B crew. We know them. He's out here in Atlanta. So when we saw their presentation at VRMA, it was actually did a really good job.
Well, they're doing the... I think they're doing Techstars in Atlanta at the moment, which is just, you know, there's some amazing mentors in that program. And they're going to go a long way, those boys.
I think Andrew from Rented is one of the mentors too, because he was mentoring a couple of people. So anyways, yeah.
That's awesome. Do you have anything else on the horizon that you see or you've mentioned crystal ball a couple times here. So are you forecasting anything? You know, like truly like people, like I ask this often and people are like, yeah. Oh, I hate it when I'm asked, but since you mentioned it, you know, what's coming up?
Look, I'm really excited for any of you who watched, Brian Chesky's interview with the Skift conference only a few weeks ago. Brian Chesky was talking about the revolution, the change in travel forever. And let me just flip. Look, this is how technical I am. I still use pen and paper, right? So, but I did write a bunch of notes because Chesky, his brain, like, you know, he's a bit short for me and I am now single again, but he's a little short. I love his brain. So, yes, I've got a little crush on Brian Chesky. There's my my confession. But, the golden age of travel, he was talking about post-pandemic, travel's going to change. There's going to be a need for more hosts. So I think that, you know, a lot of people say, have we missed the boat? Have we not got into short-term rentals on the right time? Now is the right time to get into short-term rentals. Now, before international travel is about to open up, but it's not there yet. I would say 2022, my prediction would be February, March 2022, we are going to see a massive influx. You're going to have all the Aussies coming to your areas.
We just opened up here
today.
Today, I think, or yesterday, international travel, at least European travel for sure, opened up with, you know, full vaccination. So we're seeing it already an uptick.
Give it a couple of months. I think in a couple of months' time, when people feel comfortable and confident to travel again, they will be. The one prediction that I think is going to blow our industry out of the water is the nomadic traveler, the worker like me, Julie George. I just need Wi-Fi. Give me Wi-Fi, a comfortable bed, and a cold fridge refrigerator so I can put a bottle of wine in there. I'm going to be happy and I can work from anywhere in the world. So if you can start with your properties, I would say to hosts out there now, start preparing for those types of travelers. Make sure you have the fastest Wi-Fi speed and do a screenshot and put it as one of your first five photos in your listing, because I will read as a traveler, I'm going to read through, and if it does not have proof of fast Wi-Fi, I'm not going to book your place. I want a desk space as well. I would love if you had, and I've seen some guys that I've been training a lot of people, but a few of my hosts that I've just been training have taken on board, and I've seen the results already. I'm excited, where they have set up a computer monitor and a scanner printer that they have put there with a ring light for Zooms that travelers can use. Now, if you did that, I'd pay an extra $50 per night to stay in your listing just for those little amenities. So Start thinking about who's coming. I'm coming for 30 days or more in most cases, because I like to unpack once and just hang out in a place for a little while. But I'm going to be coming over to Atlanta. I'm going to be coming over to, you know, to your neck of the woods. And honestly, guys, I think a lot more people have realized through this pandemic, they don't need to be in an office anymore. You are not a slave to your cubicle. So get out there and provide a new office for those people and make it fun. But those would be my predictions, that that travel is changing. The traveling worker is somebody that we need to cater for, and probably the number one person we need to cater for. So fast Wi-Fi, space to work, and just be prepared for something. Look, you haven't missed the boat. For anybody just listening in, get in there now, start setting up your properties, and February, March 2022, I see massive boom in our industry.
No, I agree with everything you just said. I think the biggest thing that we here in the States, especially, and I'm not sure, it's inventory. Like we need these property managers, you know, homeowner acquisition. That's been the big buzzword for a year and a half now. It's like, how do we get more inventory? And it's the interesting thing is, like, not only how do you get more inventory, but like, how do you jockey for that inventory? Because everyone's going for the same inventory. So there's some unique, multifamily things that are being built. And then, you know, there's all different directions that we can get more inventory, from more people being hosts themselves to, you know, larger companies coming in and investing and building specifically for this spot.
That's the other thing that I've seen a massive change in. So during COVID, a lot of people running under the arbitrage model really got stuck. They got stuck.
They got screwed. But before COVID, you know, what was the risk? Like, yeah. Like, no one knew that it was a risk until it was too late.
That's true.
That's true.
I think, with everybody that was left with all those selling furniture as a secondhand business, you know, look, that was pretty much what our short-term rental arbitrage model followers were doing. You know, they had all these properties, they were stuck with storage containers full of furniture, they were still committed to paying these leases.
Yep.
They were screwed. And so I think what we're seeing now, and this is the other big change in the industry, is that a lot of people are looking to the management model, which is what I built my business on. Low risk, takes no money to get into. You just need to, honestly, I started my business with $9,000, but that was to build out a website and to do a few, to buy a couple of computers, to buy some cleaning gear. Honestly, you could start tomorrow in the management model. If you had a mop, a bucket, a vacuum cleaner, and a smartphone, get out there and start tomorrow. And I think that the management model is, it's not huge in the US. The arbitrage model is still the big, the go-to business structure. But I think management.
I don't know if that's true.
Okay.
Here in the US, if the arbitrage model is the big model, I mean, our large, like Vacasa, for example, is, you know, 30,000 units, and that's a management model. That's not an arbitrage model. You know, I think that there is arbitrage is definitely prevalent here. There's definitely in the more urban markets, there is more, that's definitely more prevalent, but I could be wrong.
I think it's what's happened is over the past 2-3 years, we've seen a significant shift and change, and we saw it firsthand. And when we were at Rented and I was working at Rented with Rented Capital, we saw it early, and we saw that it just didn't make sense. But we also saw the shift. You had companies like Vector and others that immediately were pivoting to rev share models. that made more sense, but they were all based on a management platform, like managing of units, right? And so, but that also made kind of, there was also a clear delineation between who was arbitraging in and at scale and who was just arbitraging what I would say on the lower end and were just kind of like hustling, right? Like, because that's what a lot of the hustle was. A lot of the hustle was people arbitraging Airbnb. It had no intention of, you know, providing a service or professional service in that space. They were just arbitrage. They were just hustling the space. Yeah. And so we saw a lot of that, but we also saw a lot of professionals that were playing with the arbitrage model. And John, you've seen them. We've all seen them. They got burned pretty bad. Right. But what it did was cause a shift in the conversation, both on the owner side, and with the manager side, because now they were able to talk about and, you know, with greater reception, hey, there's a better way to do this, right? And let's talk about rev share. And that's what management is, right? Like at a certain point, you're managing for a certain percentage of that revenue that you're going to end up, you know, sharing with this owner, and you're providing those services to get that share of that revenue. So I think it's interesting. I think at scale, you know, we learned pretty quickly that the arbitrage thing wasn't going to happen. But I think that was also due to a lot of big players failing in terms of or over leveraging themselves and not being successful with that.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? But I think that, you know, people really can take their blinkers off too, and even create a hybrid model, you know, and it might be that, you might come across a property developer, like you're saying, John, like, you know, there's plenty of, say there's somebody that's building out a bunch of villas. Well, get in there. Don't be afraid to knock on their door and say, look, can I take on all of these properties for you? And let's do it under the management model, but let me give you a guaranteed minimum monthly payment. But let's do it under a management model so that's the worst that you're going to earn. You might be able to, there's unlimited earnings taking me on. So I guess, you know, taking those blinkers off, but I'm so excited for the future of our industry. Like, we're on the cusp of something huge at the moment. And I feel like we're all in the position that we can start molding how we want to be seen in this industry, what we want it to look like, how we can educate our own communities, forming those associations, and supporting each other. You know, one of the best things about this industry is that there's not a lot of competition. I don't hear a lot of people vying for the same property and competing against each other. There's enough to go around. So support each other, mentor each other, inspire each other, and let's see those success stories unfold.
I mean, it's...
It's competitive.
They're it's competitive, but I like
in the US it's super competitive.
Maybe I missed that part.
No, but with that said, it is like so it's
competitive, it's, but we're all
market dependent too. Yeah.
It's market by far market. And like Mateo and I came in, like, we're talking about how tight knit it is and like, yes, like we're all just this like crazy large family that like kind of dysfunctional but large at the same time. And that's why Mateo and I are never going to leave this space. It's like we came in, like we stumbled in, like you stumbled in, you know, into the, you know, you're a realtor. So you had your foot in the door, but, you know, before going into different things. But like I used to sell hardwood lumber of all things. And I stumbled into the space and like I will never leave it. Like I fell in love with the people. I fell in love with the relationships. I just like it's very competitive. It's tight knit. And talking to people back in the 80s and like that were like into like property management in the 80s and they were like the wild, wild, wild west. It's still the wild west today. And that's what's so exciting about it. Like 30 years later, it's still friggin' like it's about to explode and it's been about to explode for 30 years. That's what's fun about it.
It's so, what, John, the 80s were 40 years ago. Does that make
holy
you
shit? Off? Don't go there.
I know.
I'm like, talking late 80s.
Yeah.
I'm good. Yeah.
Julie, I have a question for you. Since we're talking about all this, I had a no bullshit question for you. Oh, so great. Have you ran across anybody who you've ever had to tell, maybe this business isn't for you? Or have you come across people or come across anyone that's made you kind of weary about why they've wanted to come to the space?
Probably. Probably not as many as you would think. I think that this industry certainly sorts out not everybody is made for 24/7 hosting and dealing with guests. You know, I think after a little while the novelty does wear off, but by the time they get to me, if they're wanting to build a business and they're wanting consulting and they want mentoring, they're pretty set. Like, right, they're already pretty hospitable. You know, they've got the hospitality down pat. They know how to run their 5 or 6 units. They just need help to get to that next level, to work on the business, not in it. So I can't say that I have come across too many. Have you come across too many like that, Mateo?
I've come across people that should absolutely not be in this business. Yeah. Because they were just trying to hustle, right? Like, they didn't give a shit about hospitality. They were just trying to make the profit off of the properties that had bare, you know, super bare minimum. Like, it was a hustle for them, right? Yeah. And I don't think the space was better off for them. They didn't really give a shit about the properties that they were dealing with. So they were a headache kind of to the rest of us, and they didn't care. They were just more interested in the money, which, don't get me wrong, the money is important, but not all money is good money. If you play dominoes, you know that, or shoot dice, or do any of those things that saying, you know, kind of fits with. But no, I do think, I mean, again, it's with everybody, it's with everything else, you know, everyone's intentions. You don't know what those people's intentions are, but I do know to do well and be successful in this industry, the key component is hospitality. At a certain point, you have to care. It's not just about the money. If you want to build something that's lasting.
You'd like to think, though, that like Airbnb with those reciprocal reviews, you know, the hosts are really busting their asses to try and impress the guests. I know I was in the beginning. So I think if somebody is just in it for the hustle and just, you know, not really trying, they're going to come unstuck. Like, you know, I have seen some pretty awful listings being put up and scary looking. I wish I had a photo that I could show you.
I'm pretty sure I've seen them.
Oh, it's a mass murderer. And I thought, no, yeah, there's no way I'm going to go and stay in that guy's house. I think it sorts itself out, but maybe I've been hanging out with just the nice hosts. I don't know. Maybe you, what sort of town are you hanging out in, Mateo?
Atlanta, yeah. This isn't an Atlanta thing. This is not just an Atlanta thing. Let's be very clear. No, everywhere. I mean, and internationally, you think of, you know, like they've had issues with people that hosts kind of what we'll call a certain way. You know, I don't think it's the majority of people, but it's the majority of the ones that we hear about, right? Like, so, and in those negative situations. So, you know, we do know that there are people that have all, you know, they don't care about the industry, don't care about hospitality at all. They just care about the money. And, you know, that's a part of what we have to deal with, because, you know, unfortunately we're lumped together and we have to answer for them and their actions.
One solution for that, though, I don't know if you guys have come across iPrac. Chris Moorhan over in Europe has got iPrac. And I love the idea of, you know, really recognizing hosts for doing a good job and giving them a little badge of honor to say, we are verified, we are genuine. So iPrac, folks, that's something that if you are a host out there, you want to show that you are a professional host, maybe check that out.
No, Chris is doing a great job. He's going to be coming on the podcast at some point here. It's just, we haven't come around to it yet. It's been good and busy and exciting. Speaking of exciting, like, this has been awesome having you join us today. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. I'm just so good. It's so nice to meet both of you in person from up.
All right.
Right. You mentioned earlier that you would be willing to go ahead and give donate?
Let's go 5 books. I'm going to put an ebook out there for 5 people. But let's do this. I think it should be the first five reviews on this podcast. So, folks, if you're listening in now, you want to drop a comment, leave a review, share this podcast with your friends and family, anybody who you think might benefit. leave a little review and get in touch with John and Mateo. They're going to shoot out a copy of my book to you. But otherwise, folks, it is available on Amazon. Leave a nice review if you like it. If you don't like it, come and tell me. I had some idiot the other day put on Amazon that I sound like a drunk soccer mum.
Well, are you?
Sometimes.
Okay. Well, maybe it was it. Maybe it was just, you know, that's
maybe with my ex-husband. I don't know. But I need to push that stupid troll down the list, and I need to have some positives. But anyway, if you don't laugh, you cry. Yeah. So
absolutely.
But I'd love to reward some of your listeners today and just give a few copies of the book out. It might just help somebody, you know, understand the journey that I went through, give you some tips on getting started. But I just hope that you've taken away at least just one thing today from today's conversation, and I might inspire you to replicate the success that I've seen in this industry.
That's awesome. Thank you so much, Julie. We're going to go ahead and leave a link to a bunch of different things that you you listed today, including a link to your Amazon page to go ahead and purchase a book direct from our Amazon, and leave a positive review to get that troll down. The first 5 people that leave a review on, let's just keep it on Apple Podcasts. That's going to be easier. So I'm not looking all over the place for all the reviews. First 5 reviews on Apple Podcasts from today's date on, we will go ahead and make sure you get a copy of the book. Thanks, Julie.
All right.
It's been super awesome. Fun.
Thank you so much.
Oh, it's lovely to see you guys, and I hope to catch up with you at a bar sometime soon. I heard that's where you met, right? So let's.
I don't partake anymore, but at the same time, it's still the same thing. You know, it's the same conversations, and we'll hang out for sure.
We will have fun, I'm sure. So lovely to see you guys.
No, thanks, Julie. Thank you so much for coming on, and we'll have you on again, please. This is definitely your lane, and we're happy to have you. So thanks for taking the time.